and tigers and bears, 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 bears.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.
This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and this month I'm calling my show Bear Music. I'll explore the music of the bear community, and this part of our culture started roughly in the mid-1980s. The song snippet you just heard, of course, does not come from that period. It's from 1932, and it's Teddy Bear's Picnic by Henry Hall and his orchestra out of England. But I wanted to use it as a segue into a modern version of the song, one definitely intended for gay male bears. It's from 2000 and is by Martin Swinger from his album Bare Naked. Here's Martin's version of Teddy Bear's Picnic.
If you go down to the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down to the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Every teddy bear who's been good is sure of a treat today. There's lots of marvelous things to eat and wonderful games to play. Beneath the trees where nobody sees, they'll hide and seek as long as they please, 'cause that's the way the teddy bears have their picnic. Time for little teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely time today. Watch them, catch them unawares. See them picnic on their holiday. See them as they gaily gad about. They love to play and shout, they never have any care. But at 6 o'clock their daddies will take them home to bed, because they're tired little teddy bears. Go down to the woods today, you better not go alone. It's lovely down in the woods today, but safer to stay at home. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Picnic time for little teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely time today. Watch them, catch them unaware. See them picnic on their holiday. Them as they gaily gad about. They love to play and shout, they never have any care. But at 6 o'clock their daddies will take them home to bed, because they're tired little teddy bears. At 6 o'clock their daddies will take them home to bed, because they're tired little teddy bears.
Martin Swinger and Teddy Bear's Picnic. And I've got an interview with Martin later in the show. The show also includes an interview with Freddie Freeman, a talented artist and also the founder of a series of music events held around the country called Bearapalooza. What's a Bearapalooza? Well, I want to read to you a description taken from Freddie's Bearapalooza website that'll help explain the focus of my show. Bearapalooza is a unique rock concert event bringing together talented musicians of the bear community. The bear community is defined in different ways by different participants, but underlying all the definitions is an effort to redefine ideas of masculine beauty, especially for gay males. For many years, the stereotypical image of male beauty has been thin, young, and hairless. This may be some people's preference, but the bear community embraces a different ideal of male beauty: stocky to large, hairy, usually with facial hair. In essence, the word bear embraces men as they are, in many forms, shapes, and sizes, as they tend to naturally be. Okay, I think that gives us a good starting point, and we're going to flesh out these ideas in my first interview of the show. It's with Greg Hudson. While Greg has a background as a musician, A few years ago, he started his own label called Whoopee Bear Music. And I would say he's been one of the people doing the most to get exposure for the music of artists who identify with the bear community. He's released a series of compilation CDs called Bear Tracks, and they've helped bring together some of these artists. My interview with Greg started out with the basics. What is a bear?
What is a bear? Well, there's many different versions of this answer. Actually, and many of them are right. There's no really wrong answer, I guess, to this. Traditionally speaking, I guess, in the gay genre, a bear is normally a big old burly guy that's not your traditional slim type build, you know, so just, I don't know, there's not really any right answer, but there's no wrong answer either, so it just depends on the interpretation.
So, is there a bear community?
Yes, there is. Many cities have the bear communities, what they call the bear clubs. They're spread, I guess, every state in the United States, Canada, Mexico, there are bear clubs. They're not really linked together, per se, as far as one big community. Most clubs are doing their own thing, whether, you know, like projects and things going on as far as what they call bear runs, where they raise money for charity, things like that, or just have, like, parties and stuff. And so it's, in most cases, it's basically like a community of where people can just feel like they are who they are.
Since I'm trying to tell the story through music, if you had to define the idea of bear music, what would you say?
Okay, bear music. As far as the genre goes, as far as bear tracks goes, the bear tracks that we have released, we have four volumes of bear tracks, and most of these songs are recorded by and sang by and performed by gay bear men. There's not really any style of music that you would say consider bear music. There's, you know, country songs, there's dance music, there are, you know, pop music, there folk, acoustic. Basically, bear tracks represents the talent, I guess would be the best way to say it. Bear tracks represents the talent of what the bear men have to offer.
And how do you figure out who's a bear artist?
Some of that may be considered like in, I guess, appearance. Some of it could be in, like, I guess, personality or attitude. It just depends on, like I say, individual interpretation. What some people may see as a bear, some other people may not see as or recognize that as a bear. Bear Tracks series that we produce, many of the artists do look like, you know, bear type men. You know, what I'm talking about is, you know, the big build or the, like, hairy body or beard or facial hair, you know, something like that. But then again, there are other artists that have none of that. And the reason that they are, I guess, on the Bear Tracks series is because they either approve or accept and acknowledge the bear community, and they are trying to build their fan base towards a genre of people that would also accept them.
So I gather there are self-identified bear artists.
Yeah, I believe there are people that just that do claim themselves as being a bear artist. Freddie Freeman, for one, is identified as a bear. Like I say, most people don't recognize or just don't publish themselves as being, hey, I'm a bear and here's my music. You know what I mean? Other people may look at somebody and say he's a bear or he's a bear. I guess for the most part, a lot of people don't really consider themselves, I guess, identified as a bear. It just depends on your identity, how you want to portray and how you want to live your life, and how deep you really want to go into the community with that.
Why did you start Whoopee Bear Music?
This has to go back several years. back in the 80s, back when I was around, you know, 19, 20 years old, I was in a thrash metal band. And we recorded two full-length albums. Actually, it was on vinyl at the time, and CD also came out at that same time. So our first two releases were on vinyl, cassette, and CD. But we also had some singles on some compilation albums that came out, and the compilation albums really pushed our CD releases that we had just finished. And years later, I've always been into music. I'm a music collector. I've always been into other people's ideas of music. I don't have any favorite style. I don't have any favorite artists. I've just always really been into the music scene. So with that said, and also knowing how compilation albums really helped the artist, I decided, what if I released a compilation CD series that would help some of the gay artists? And so the release of Bear Tracks 1 was released in 2004, was when Bear Tracks 1 was released. So using my talent from the thrash metal band that I was in back in the 80s, I decided to just stay in the music scene, but not as far as a performer, but more of a promoter, and try to help some of the gay artists get more recognition that they really deserve.
Well, I love the title Bear Tracks. That's such an obvious and appropriate title for the series.
It came to me just out of the blue. Just one time I thought, first of all, I wanted to do something for the bear artist, because I had heard of, like I said, you know, there was Mark Weigel, you know, Tommy Johns, Martin Swinger, you know, Kendall, Ray Baker. There's all these people were on Bear Tracks 1. Just a lot of great music. I mean, there's a lot of just great talent that I figure that individually they're really trying to push their music, but it's hard to do it individually these days with so much other, I guess you might say, competition that's out there. So I figure if we put everything under one roof and try to give people a taste of what these people have to offer, maybe this would help the artists get a little, you know, expand their fan base.
Well, your label is called Whoopi Bear Music, but you didn't tell me what a Whoopi Bear was.
A Whoopi Bear. Okay, Whoopi Bear Music got its name, and this goes back several years also. As a child, I always had a teddy bear. I slept with a teddy bear. If it wasn't a teddy bear, it was a little pillow or something small that I would always hold on to when I was asleep. Anyway, I always had to have a little teddy bear to sleep with. And I didn't call it my teddy bear. I called it my Whoopi. And it's just a word. I don't know where the word came from. It's just a word that I just started calling it that. So all through my childhood, I had my Whoopi, which was actually a teddy bear. And it's something that always helped me to feel secure and, I guess, get through the night and not feel alone. And so when I started the Bear Track series, I thought, well, we'll just call the label Whoopi Bear Music. That way it will be something that, you know, people can relate to as far as feeling secure, music that helped them feel all right about themselves, music with a message that is not downgrading or degrading to anybody, but helping to uplift people and give them a sense of who they are. I've really gotten, you know, like a lot of letters from, like, email and things like that from actually around the world, from just several countries about the Bear Tracks and about the music that the Whoopi Bear Music has released. And that's what keeps me going, because I see that there's a positive influence here. It's helping the artist. And, you know, also not only just that, but it's a positive influence for the people that purchase the CDs or listen to the songs, and they realize then that they're not alone in the world and the issues that they're dealing with. There are other people out there that are in the same world that they're in, and they don't have to feel like that they're just so isolated.
Is there a song that stands out to you as dealing lyrically with the bear culture?
I would have to say probably, well, I don't know about the first music, but I'd say one of the best songs that deals with the bear culture would be by Leroy Lamb. He is an artist from Canada, and he's on Bear Tracks 2 with his song called What It Feels Like for a Bear, which is actually a parody of Madonna's song What It Feels Like for a Girl. And lyrically, this song kind of like goes into how a bear feels and how they are accepted and how they are, you know, in and out of clubs and things like that. Leroy Lamb's What It Feels Like for a Bear is probably one of the best songs as far as lyrically goes that describes a bear.
Gay men who wear dresses and put on wigs or high-heeled shoes, because it's okay to be a drag queen. But for a man to look like a bear is degrading, because you think that being furry is degrading. But secretly, you'd love to know what it's like, wouldn't you? What it feels like for a bear. I see a bear. There is hair poking up over his women who wear dresses and put on wigs and wear high-heeled shoes, so it's okay to be a drag queen. But for a man to look like a bear is degrading, because you think that being furry is degrading. But secretly, you'd love to know what it's like, wouldn't you? What it feels like with a bear. Bears, they're scared to show it. When you open up your shirt for me, I expect you to be hairy. Do you know what it feels like for a bear? Do you know what it feels like with this hair for a bear? Do you know what it feels like?
Out of Canada, that was Leroy Lamb, with a little of What It Feels Like for a Bear. And that track can be found only on Greg Hudson's CD, Bear Tracks 2. Tell me more in particular about the Bear Tracks series.
When I started this back in 2004, I say that like so long ago, but it's not really that far back. I made a commitment to myself that I would release four Bear Tracks, and just this year, actually, Bear Tracks Volume 4 has been released. So I fulfilled my personal, I guess, agreement to myself that I would release four Bear Tracks and see how that goes. It's really been a positive influence for the artist. I'm really glad that I did it, and I have no regrets at all about this. It started out with Bear Tracks 1 as more of an expensive hobby than it was really like a music label. But after I saw the influence and the feedback from everything that came from Bear Tracks 1, that's when I decided to get a little bit more serious with it. So we got everything legal in the state of Ohio as a business, you know, the taxes and all that stuff. I got everything legalized. And so now we're expanding beyond the Bear Tracks, and I'm also helping other artists release solo CDs like Kendall, Freddie Freeman from Nashville. And then we just started another series called GCD, which is all like gay and lesbian and transgendered and bisexual artists.
So there's no more Bear Tracks CDs coming?
I don't see any more in the future as of now. Like I said, I fulfilled my personal agreement that I would do four CDs. If I do another one, it may not be for at least maybe a couple more years after we see what kind of I guess feedback we get from the four that's out now. It's been slow rolling. It really has. I mean, it's not something that just hit the market and we sold out of them. You know, it's not this wasn't a big explosion. And at first I was losing money on it. You know, I've been actually invested, you know, thousands of dollars into these projects. And at first I was losing money. That's why I considered, you know, it being an expensive hobby at first. But with some of the right advertising and some of the other connections with radio and things like that, it's not losing money anymore. So, I mean, I'm not making money. I still have my main career. I have a day job. And the day job is, you know, something I would always have to keep because, you know, how the music world is. It's, you know, chickens one day and feathers the next.
Well, personally, I hope that you do resurrect the Bear series because I think it's a very good project and you're about the only one making an effort to put, quote, bear music out there.
It's really hard at first to get the artists together for this. Because at first, most people don't realize that there are that many artists out there in the world. But now, I used to be chasing after them as far as, hey, do you want to be on this CD series? Or I'm putting together Bear Tracks 1, especially. That was the hardest one to start. Because first, nobody even knew what would-be bear music was. And second, they didn't know what they were getting into, you know, because is this just some idiot with some lame brain idea that's just going to be a fly-by-night thing, you know. So, but now, after the volumes 1 through 4 have now been released, people are taking it serious, and they see how serious I am about it. And so, you might say they're just the bears are coming out of the woods, you know. You know, to be honest, Bear Tracks 4, I guess, was the newest release. It just came out, you know, early this year. Actually, late last year, like December, but the official release for was this month in January. It expands through around the world. I mean, there's music from Germany, there's music from Italy, the Netherlands, Canada, Mexico, and this is all through the whole series, like Bear Tracks 1 through 4. Music literally around the world, and something that I never would have imagined or dreamed that it would go that far.
And now you've got the global series to literally be global.
Right. Yeah, the GCD, which has two meanings, you know, gay and global. The GCD Global 1 is actually being released in February, and it's a two CD set. The first CD is all dance and electronic music, and then the disc number 2, which is in the same package, is all rock and folk and country and a few other little surprises like that in the global series.
Well, you yourself are also contributing your own music to this series. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, I have a music studio here where I live, and I don't have a lot of time to mess with it like I want to. I go under this, I guess, the pseudonym name of Grekote, which is like a Greek takeoff of the word Gregory, because my name is Greg. Some of the songs I've recorded are on the Bear Track series, about 3 different CDs. I have three different songs I think I've released. And then there's also one on the GCD that Freddie Freeman actually did the vocals on. And that's something that he took his time to do, and I was really thankful for him to do that, because I'm not a vocalist.
I think that track really came out well.
Yeah, no, I like that song. He really did a great touch with that, and I think he was perfect for that. Because I sent him the tracks and sent him the music, and he made a few little changes on it, and I pretty much left it the way I had it. And his voice really goes great with that.
Here's a little bit of the song Closer by Grekote, featuring Freddie Freeman on vocals.
We're dancing at the club when you took my hand. It was then that I knew I had to be your man. Get close to me. Get close to me. Get close to me. Closer. I looked into your eyes as you looked in mine. That I saw was not from the wine. Get close to me. Yeah, close to me. Get close to me.
That was a bit of the song Closer, with music by Greg Hudson, under the name Grekote, with vocals by Freddie Freeman. That's from Greg's new CD compilation, GCD Global 1. When I started researching this show, I quickly found that there was no particular musical genre for the music created by members of the Bear community. And I found a lot of music by Bear artists, so much so that this edition of Queer Music Heritage will be another one with a much extended version on my website, about 6 hours. That, of course, is at www.queermusicheritage.com. Now, almost by definition on my show, I've got to try to explore the history of bear music, and that is a tough subject to research. But the earliest song by a gay artist that I found where the main lyrical focus concerned the bear community was one from 1994. It was from an album called Vision of a Bear and was by John Topping. It's called I'm a Bear.
I'm a bear. Yes, I am a bear. Yes, I am a bear. Yes, I am a bear.
I'm a Bear by John Topping. From 1997, I found another obscure song right on the subject. It was by a duo called Woof, and they released a two-song cassette tape called Just a Bear. And I was able to track down one of the members of that band, Paul Golio. I asked him to tell me about the band.
Woof. The start of the band Woof actually came out of a band called Beefcake. And Beefcake was formed like in 93, I think. And Beefcake was me and a guy from Jersey. And that actually spread over from Provincetown. Because while I was in Provincetown, me and these two bears started doing shows playing guitar and bass just at friends' houses and barbecues and stuff. And we were big bears and we called ourselves Beefcake. Then when I came back to New York, I got the guy in Jersey who was playing in a Chubb band called Earthquake. And we formed Woof, but he left, and then that's where me, Scott, and the drummer, the original drummer, formed Woof.
Were you the first bear band that you knew of?
I believe it was the first bear band. There was a guy in New York that used to do performances under hair suit, but he was electronical and did everything by himself. It wasn't a band.
Were there other acts at the time who were bear identified?
No. Not that I ran into at that time, no. That's why we did it in Provincetown, because everybody played with canned music behind them. You know, they were transgendered acts or all-girl bands, or the girl with the acoustic guitar. That's why me and the three guys at Provincetown said, we're going to do a bear band and be a little punky.
Did you tour around at bear events, if there were bear events then?
There were bear events. When we became Woof back in New York, we did a couple of bear events in Canada. Canada bears loved us. And we did a few Girth and Mirth things, of course. There was a guy around called Captain Woof. I don't know if anybody remembers Captain Woof. He played keyboards. He was a solo act. But he wasn't a bear, but he was a bear admirer. And he got us a lot of gigs, like playing like in Jersey, outdoor things at bars that were for bears. So that's what we did, and we got quite a few gigs off that, but then, you know, it just dried up, kind of, because everybody wants to dance. They don't want to hear a live band. At that point in time, that was in the 90s.
Your cassette came out in 97. Tell me about that.
Oh, the cassette. We wrote Just a Bear, me and Scott Hamblin, who was the original lead singer and the original guitarist in Wolf. And I wrote the lyrics, Steph, he wrote the music, and that was my baby, and to this day, that is still my baby. That I wrote in reference to when we were playing around, somebody told us that there is no big market for bear men. You should, you know, lose some weight and then shave your chest and, you know, go for the pretty boy look, and that was my response to that.
For a tape like that, how many were produced?
We produced about 2,000 of them. We did it by ourselves. Trip Records put it out on their compilation, Siblings 2. And
I have that.
Yes, we're on that. And in Italy, we got record interest in Italy. And I believe, I can't remember the record company's name, but it didn't go through because all the band members didn't want to do it. But I'm almost positive there was a label called Apple Red or Cherry Red or Red Cherry Records in Europe. And they were very interested in releasing that. But at that time, that's when Woof was coming to an end. So it didn't work. That was very sad.
How did you market the tape?
We marketed that tape through Bear magazines, Bear newsletters. We did a semi-nude thing in Big Ed magazine. You know, anything for publicity. We did it for publicity. But we sold, I would say, 1,000 tapes by ourselves, by airmail on the internet, putting ads on the internet. We sold over 1,000 tapes in Europe alone.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Italy loved us. Italy and Taiwan loved us.
Okay, from the band Woof, let's hear their song, Just a Bear.
I'm just a bear. I got lots of hair. From my head down to my toes. I don't want to be like those Kendall beauty queens. Don't you know? I got someone who cares. We do it in the woods and everywhere. 'Cause don't you know? I'm just a bear. and I'd like that one over there. Won't you please bring him to me? I don't want to be like those candle beauty queens, 'cause don't you know? I got someone who cares. We do it in the woods and everywhere, 'cause don't you know?
Artist I just can't leave out of this show was one of the first self-proclaimed bear musicians, and he sure proved that by going by the name Music Bear. His real name is Ray Baker, and his debut CD came out in 1998, but I've chosen to share with you a track of his from 2000 called Teddy Bear.
When I was a little boy, I had no friends to call my own, just a warm and cuddly bear. My path. Everywhere that I went, he was there to cheer me up. At my side, he was my first real love. Teddy bear. And I lost his loving touch. Then one night, there he stood, took my hand, stole my heart, he gave me love. Teddy bear, teddy bear, and you are there, Teddy type of love that no one can deny. He's at my side to hold me through the long and lonely night. Teddy bear, teddy bear, I reach out in the night and you are there.
And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. And if you go to my site this month, you'll find a much, much longer show about Bear music. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. I've been a fan of this next artist for many years, and I give him credit for releasing the first album directly geared to the Bear community. He's Martin Swinger, and in 2000, he released a CD called Bear Naked. And of course, in that title, Bear is spelled B-E-A-R. Some editions of that album should be considered collector's items because they have fur glued to the outside. Very cool. You heard Martin's version of Teddy Bear's Picnic at the start of the show, and he's got a lot more great music. Martin, you've told me that you don't consider yourself a bear, but I know that your music has been very well received by the bear community. Can you talk about that?
It's been very interesting. I think, of a bear, I think of a pretty large guy, mostly, usually pretty hairy-chested. There are certain elements that really make me visualize what a bear might look like, and I'm not any of those. I'm 6 foot tall and fairly slender, and I've got a little goatee. But the bears, when I go to a bear event, they say that I'm welcome as a bear because I've got the, as long as I've got some kind of facial hair, I'm acceptable to them. But I don't really see myself as a bear. The thing about the music is that when Brian first started talking to me, Brian's my partner who really convinced me to do this. I owe it all to him. To put the album together, I had a handful of songs, like My Uncle Walter Goes Waltzing with Bears, and I knew Teddy Bear's Picnic. So, those two are kind of obvious, and from there I wasn't quite sure where to go. So I tried looking at songs from the idea that there was the word bear or the image of a bear in it. And while there are a few songs like that, not a lot of them really spoke to me as anything that would speak to a bear, a person who's into the bear culture. So I tried to take a broader look at it. And again, Brian helped me kind of open up my eyes to what would bears be interested in. And then, bears are interested in food, and they're interested in sex, they're interested in each other, they're interested in relationships, they're interested in justice, they're interested in a lot of things. The people we've met at the bear conferences are, tend to be intelligent people, good conversationalists and cultured, to the point that it made me feel a lot more comfortable about what I was able to share with them. But that's kind of how I came about that collection of songs, was just pulling together something I thought that the bear community might be interested in as a subject. And that seems to have worked real well.
You were a little at a loss for words when I asked you in an email about the idea of quote-unquote bear music.
Yeah. Well, that was a tough thing. That was the period that I was going through where I was looking for songs that said the word bear. When I go to bear gatherings, again, my experience has taught me that at a bear gathering, it's just as easy to have a conversation with somebody about opera or classical music as likely you would have a conversation about the country music or any other. Every bear has a different kind of music that appeals to them.
Oh, I don't think it's a genre of music.
No, I don't think it's a genre at all. I don't think it could be categorized as a genre. So when we do a Bearapalooza, the fellas there may sing anything. Original songs, Joni Mitchell, you just don't know what somebody's going to sing. But if they identify with a bear, identify as bear, it becomes bear music in its own way. So it seems to work, and the bears seem to are willing to take in everything that anybody will sing.
How has the Bear Naked album been received?
It's been received very well, and interestingly enough, I still get found. I still get discovered through emails. People searching through CDBaby.com, and they come across the Bear Naked album, and they'll buy it every now and then. Will Be Bear has been really good with their productions. The Bear Tracks albums has introduced my album to a lot of people. So I hear, you know, get it from a lot of different angles. It's a nice thing to be discovered. And then, of course, singing at the Bear events has been wonderful. I always sell a lot of CDs there. The advantage of hearing me live at the Bear events is that my CDs are the coffee table edition with fur, glued around the edge. Yeah, it's a real clever marketing scheme that Brian came up with. It's a very fun, very fun album cover. And I'm able to do that live, where I can't really do that with mail orders. So there's the advantage of hearing me live at a Bear event.
I started the show with the song Teddy Bear's Picnic. Could you comment on that song?
Comment on Teddy Bear's Picnic. I think it's just a really fun song. It's kind of an old vaudeville song, British, you know, from British vaudeville, where it came from originally. And it's just romping images of bears having a good time together. And when I go to the bear events, that's what they're doing. You know, they're enjoying food, and that's what's happening at this Teddy Bear's Picnic. They're enjoying each other's company. They're dancing with each other. It just seemed like a very nice, in the double entendre sense, it seemed like a very nice celebration of bear community and the bears, the way they treat each other. So that's why I picked that song. It's a children's song, basically, but I thought it worked real well for the bears. I get a lot of comments on it.
Please tell me about Teddy Bear's Lullaby.
Teddy Bear's Lullaby was the response to Teddy Bear's Picnic. I'd already recorded the picnic song and realized I needed something to counterbalance it, and that there was not really a lullaby planned for the album, and the idea of writing a lullaby just appealed to me. So I sat down one evening, and that was one of the rare songs that came to me very quickly. I started thinking about, my honey bear and what kind of lullaby I might sing. And the ideas came to me amazingly quickly. And, it's a lullaby because it's a lullaby, but I'm happy to use the word honey bear and just to make references in it that really describe the person I'm thinking of. And again, the bears seem to respond to it. This song will make bears cry. it's a very poignant, I guess. It's perhaps a bit romantic, but I'm a bit of a romantic, so it seems to work.
Oh, fuzzy-faced friend of mine, it's bedtime, so lay down with me. You've had a rough day today, but now it's done, so lay down with me. When I'm feeling sorry, you know what to do. I'm here to give back what I learned from you. I'll hold you all night if you want me to. If you only lay down, teddy bear, by my side, close your eyes and let me rub that heavy world from off your shoulder. It's grown colder, but I'll warm you like fire. My heart is burning for you. Lay down and let me show you. From your dark eyes, I see the light in you. Give me tonight and let me show you how I love you. see you made me love you. There's no place I'm going to but here with you. You made me love you. When I'm feeling sorry, you know what to do. I'm here to give back what I learned from you. I'll hold you all night if you want me to. If you'll only lay down, teddy bear, by my side. Close your eyes and let me rub that heavy world from off your shoulder. It's grown colder, but I'll warm you like fire. I'll warm you like fire.
And this song is very cute. Please tell me about the song Huggin' and Chalkin'.
Huggin' and Chalkin', oh, what a great adventure. This is a song from the 1950s written by a man named Kermit Goel. And Brian was familiar with the song. It was originally Huggin' and Chalkin'. It was I Got a Gal Who's Mighty Sweet, Big Brown Eyes and Tiny Feet. It was about a gal, but that was the only reference to her, to a woman in the whole song, was that very opening thing. And Brian used to sing snippets of it to me. We always thought it was a cute song, but I'd never really come across it. And then I was down in Atlanta, you know, while we were starting to work on the album, starting to think towards it. I was down in Atlanta flying back to Maine, and a friend of mine got on the plane, a fellow named Avner Eisenberg, who is a comedian and performer, Avner the Eccentric. Well, he's from Maine, and I know him and have met his wife, Julie, as well. Avner got on the plane same time I did, and we were informed we were going to have to sit there for an hour. So Avner came back and sat beside me, and we just kind of caught up with each other. And we were talking about music, and he said, well, yeah, my wife's father was a songwriter, but you wouldn't be familiar with anything he ever wrote. His biggest tune was a song called Huggin' and Chalkin'. And I just about hit the ceiling when he said it, because we'd been looking for this song. And then to find out my friend Julie, it was her father that wrote it. So we contacted Julie immediately and just said, Julie, we've got this crazy idea about changing a couple of words in this song and recording it. And she said, let me check with my brother. She checked with another brother and said, go for it. So allowed us to change it from I Got a Gal Who's Mighty Sweet to I Got a Bear Who's Mighty Sweet. And the song works great from there. The bears are great about celebrating larger men as part of their culture, and this song was, again, just a beautiful celebration of size. So that's why it was an important song. I felt very lucky to be able to put it on the album.
I got a bear who's mighty sweet, big brown eyes and furry feet. He likes to cook and he loves to eat, and he tips the scales at 303-OG. But ain't it grand to have a bear so big and fat that when you go to hug him, you don't know where you're at? You have to take a piece of chalk in your hand and hug away some chalk, a mark to see where you began one day. I was a hugging and a chalking and a chalking and a hugging away. When a man, another fellow with some chalk in his hand, coming around the other way, coming around the other way. I know the
to hug him, you don't know where you're at. You have to take a piece of chalk in your hand and hug away some chalk, a mark to see where you began. One day I was a hugging and a chalking and a begging him to stay by my side, when a man I love found a with some chalk in his hand coming around the other side. Oh my, coming around the other side, baby's on my wine. Coming around the other side, over the mountains, across the great divide.
This is Martin Swinger with Bare Naked Music. You're listening to Queer Music Heritage on KPFT in Houston.
Thank you, Martin. That was Huggin' and Chalkin' by Martin Swinger. And we're going to pause in our interview, and I encourage you to please come back for part two of my Bare Music Special for much more. And just for grins, I'm going to fade out of part one with a little bit of Hoagie Carmichael singing the original Huggin' and Chalkin' from 1947.
I got a gal who's mighty sweet, big blue eyes and tiny feet. Her name is Rosabelle McGee, and she tips the scales at 303 OG. But ain't it grand to have a gal so big and fat that when you go to hug her, you don't know where you're at? You have to take a piece of chalk in your hand and hug away some chalk, a mark to see where you began. One day I was a huggin' and a chalkin' and a chalkin' and a huggin' away, when I met another fella with some chalk in his hand, coming around the other way, over the mountain, coming around the other way.